This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Let us begin worship today with these words from the Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Jesus here is speaking to the Pharisees, but he's also speaking to us. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen, instead of going through the gate, you know they are up to no good. A sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those who are up to no good, those others, are sheep stealers. Every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of.
Our second reading today is the 23rd Psalm. You, O God, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful water and refresh my soul. You lead me along right paths, always true to your name. Although I may walk through valleys as dark as death, I won't be afraid. For you are always with me, and your shepherd's rod protects me and makes me feel safe. You treat me to a feast while my enemies are near. You honor me as your guest, and you fill my cup until it overflows. Your kindness and love will always be with me each day of my life, and I will live forever in your house, my God. Our affirmation of faith today is a modern version of the statement of faith of our United Church of Christ. Let's join together in affirming our beliefs. We believe in you, God, eternal Spirit, God of our Savior Jesus Christ and our God, and to your deeds we testify. You call the worlds into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. You seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. You judge people and nations by your righteous will declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into the Church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. You promise to all who trust in you forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life which end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen.
Our focus scripture today comes from the book of Acts. It is a post-ascension story, a story of activity in the early church, a description of the early church and its practices. Pay close attention to the words of this story. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. Everything these days, and for some time now, is awesome. I'll give you an example. I was out on a bike ride a week ago on a very nice Wednesday evening, a perfect spring day, if there is such a thing. A gentleman walking along on the sidewalk greeted me, and I greeted him, and I said, "Isn't it a great day? What beautiful weather." And he said, "Yes, this is an awesome day." We hear that word, that descriptive word, quite often. That's an awesome car. That was the most awesome concert I've ever been to. What an awesome outfit. What an awesome game. I looked the word awesome up in the dictionary to get a definition. Actually, I got several. The word awesome used as slang means very impressive. And yes, it was a very impressive spring day for a bike ride. And I've seen very impressive games and concerts and so on. I'm sure you have too. But awesome also includes this definition found in dictionary.com. Causing or inducing awe. Inspiring an overwhelming feeling of reverence, admiration, or fear. Throughout history, generations have used different words or phrases to express this awesomeness, this impressiveness. Take the word cool, for example. That's been around for a long time. That's a cool car. This is a cool day. Can you think of some others? How about the word nice? That's one I hear once in a while. That's a nice car. Or, back when I was in elementary school, the catchword for awesome was salty. Anybody know that one? That's really salty. I mean, that's really cool. That's really impressive. Or in the mid-70s, there was the word solid. That's a solid car. Take a trip back a little farther into the decades. The bee's knees. The cat's pajamas. Better than sliced bread. All words or phrases to describe something that today we would describe as awesome. In our story from Acts today, we get a taste of early Christian community life. It must have been awesome because we heard that phrase. Did you catch it? A sense of awe came over everyone. And I don't think it was just inside the Christian community, but outside of the community as well. It was impressive that those early Christian believers were sharing everything with one another. So that everybody had enough for the common good of everybody. Those inside the community might have been awed by the ability to share those things and still have enough for themselves. Those outside the community maybe were awed because they were doing that. The community was sharing those things, and for the same reason, still had enough. That's hard for us to understand today. That's not how we live for the most part. Now, some biblical scholars, some theologians would say that this is little descriptive piece of early life in the Christian community was an exaggeration, an ideal to live for. Maybe so. Maybe not. We don't know. But even if it was an exaggerated account, an ideal not yet realized, it's God's vision, Jesus' vision for the world, our world, our brothers and sisters, that we all might share what we have. For even though it might not seem like it now, if you go to the grocery store and see a few empty shelves, we live in a world of abundance. We have enough to share. The Christian community today still tries to accomplish that ideal. At least it should. At least we should. It's not easy to do in a world where we are told that things are scarce. Better grab it while you can, or you're going to be left out. Well, there are folk that have been left out. There's still the call to share with one another so that all might have enough. The church is called to work towards that. It's part of the mission of God's church. We'll celebrate communion today to share the bread and the cup, to be reminded of Jesus who taught us about God's vision for God's world, for all of us, to share with one another at the table and every place else. We're reminded that that is what we are to work for, work towards, not just for a few, but for all. Playwright Tom Stoppard said this, "To me, the trick in life is to take that sense of generosity between kin, make it apply to the extended family and to your neighbor, your village, and beyond." That's God's vision for our world and for us, to make that a reality, to work towards it until it is fulfilled. I don't think it's an exaggeration that that could happen. It's a possibility if we apply ourselves to the teachings of Jesus, to his voice and his example for us. So we're working on it. We'll get there. And when we get there, everyone, especially God, will say, "That's awesome." Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.